And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about a new article published in the Jesuits America magazine. America magazine, the magazine, the publication is called America, the Jesuit Review. It is the flagship publication of the Jesuit order in the United States and is very influential politically. And if you just go study the articles that are written there and you study the history behind the publication, it's very chilling to consider when you realize that years ago, the Jesuits, for example, published an article about repealing the Second Amendment. And the way they write about that article, which I've mentioned before, they're envisioning the post-repeal world. Post-repeal America and this kind of thing, as though they believe they're going to be able to carry this thing out no matter what. Well, God forbid, and we believe many, many patriots will resist any such political advance in our society. And of course, now what's happening is so many of these liberal leftist groups are playing their hand. They're showing more and more their support for outright Marxism. The Democrats, of course, have thrown off virtually any cloak of concealment about their intentions, and now their so-called democratic socialism is nothing more than a very brief bridge doctrine as they go rushing down the path to full-blown Marxism. The thing to always remember, to always, always remember, is the quote from Vladimir Lenin that the goal of socialism is communism. So socialism is where they use democratic means to get themselves into power by deceiving the people through education, and manipulation, propaganda, information war, really enemy propaganda being fomented in a society. And it goes on quite often for many years before it actually takes effect. This is why Marx said things like, you know, that rewriting history is the first step toward undermining a country. You have to go rewrite their history. You have to rewrite their national heritage and basically strip the foundation of everything they believe and convince them that their society is wrong and needs to be replaced with communism or socialism. And then socialism at first, social justice and socialism all sounds like a good idea, but the end game, their ultimate goal, is complete and total control of a society. To basically rob the entire society. To take their land, abolish private property, take their wealth, everything, so that they control every aspect of a government and a people. That's their aim. So the goal of socialism is communism, totalitarian absolute control. And this is how they get it. They take it by degrees, one step at a time. It's what they do when they do not have an invading army powerful enough to just go in and take something by force. So they choose stealth invasion tactics, essentially. So now we have the Jesuits. The Jesuits have published their article, or they've published an article, which is getting a lot of attention out there in the internet. I've had a number of listeners that have sent me this article. The article is actually called The Catholic Case for Communism, published by a guy named Dean Detloff, who I do not believe is a Jesuit. There's no indication that he is a Jesuit. He's like a guest columnist who published this article and then makes this Catholic, so-called Catholic case for communism and goes on from there. Then what happens is shortly afterwards, then the Jesuits published an additional article, this one written by the Jesuit Matt Malone, who is a Jesuit priest. And this article says, why we published an essay sympathetic to communism. And this is all where it gets very, very interesting. So essentially what they do is they try to promote the idea of communism as having a compatibility with Christianity. And if you get our audio CD on the Jesuits and Marxism, Weapon of the Counter-Reformation, this is where I go over a lot of the detailed history on how the Jesuits basically repackaged the Inquisition, beginning with social justice in 1843 with Luigi Taparelli. But then through the rest of the 19th century, they were said to be working with Karl Marx directly. Father Bex, the Jesuit general at the time, was said by Otto von Bismarck in Germany to be working with Karl Marx on fomenting socialist revolutions throughout Europe. This is why Bismarck had the Jesuits expelled from Germany back in the 19th century, kept them out for many, many years. And I've always seen Bismarck as like a 19th century version of Ronald Reagan. He protected the people of Germany from these radical elements for many years. Now, of course, once he was gone, they came rushing back in. And that's why you find socialism on the rise in the late 19th and early 20th century in Germany. But here in this article, in both of the articles, they show Bolivian President Evo Morales presenting a gift to Pope Francis at the government palace in La Paz, Bolivia. And the gift was a wooden hammer and a sickle, the symbol of communism, with a figure of a crucified Christ. So it's like a crucifix. It's basically a communist crucifix. You see the image. It's the hammer, the sickle, fashioned into a Catholic crucifix. And really, it's a very, very telling symbol. I remember when this image was first published years ago, and I did a radio show and talked about it. And it is the perfect symbol of what communism is and where it comes from. If you research the word communism through the 19th century, you will find that it has its origins in the word communion. And I believe once you begin to recognize the word communion there, and you realize that the number one reason why, during the Inquisition, people were arrested during the Inquisition because they would not bow to the wafer, the host, the Catholic host, that the priest holds up and says hocus corpus and claims this is the very presence of Christ, that this is Christ in the flesh, so much so that you must bow down and worship or submit to the host. And really what you're doing is you're submitting to the Catholic priest who is claiming he has power over Christ, that he can call down Christ from heaven into this host, this wafer, and now you need to bow down and worship. In Catholicism, this is called Eucharistic adoration. I've done shows in the past, some of you will remember. They do this even to this day. You have these Eucharistic flash mobs where the priests go out on the street. Just look it up, go to YouTube, look it up, and you'll see the priests out on the street holding up a monstrance, the starburst, with the wafer there, holding it up, and then talking about Jesus Christ, and then saying, come and kneel before him now. And then the people, the Catholic people, come and they kneel down in front of the monstrance. They're kneeling before the wafer, and the priests are calling the wafer Jesus Christ. So communion, this is about power and control. And that's what communism is about. It's about power and control. Communism, The best understanding I can think of for socialism and communism is that it is the doctrines of the Dark Age. It is the Inquisition repackaged in different clothing, with a whole different apparatus. And it's why it's important to understand what the Inquisition was and what they did. The fact that they outlawed the Bible. They outlawed the Ten Commandments. They outlawed the preaching of the gospel. Communism does the same thing. They will not allow you. They ban Bibles. They ban the teaching of the commandments of God. They arrest you if they catch you promoting Christianity. You see, they do all the same things that the Inquisition did. The difference being that the Inquisitors claimed they were the servants of Christ, supposedly. And that's what your social justice and socialists will often do. They'll often claim that they are promoting Christian ideas and that this is what Jesus would want and Jesus wants social justice and all this other kind of stuff. But by the time they get to full-blown communism, they throw the Bible and anything having to do with Jesus right out the window. Now they completely want all of that removed. It reminds me of the progress of the Democratic Party. Some will remember back when Obama was still president, the Democrats had voted to remove any mention of God from their platform, their party platform. Now the Democrats that they're in charge of the House of Representatives, they've removed the phrase, "So help me God," from the oath. They don't want that in the oath anymore. See, this is the progress of communism. It's ultimately engineered to abolish the authority of God entirely. And of course, we reveal many of the details of the history of how all this unfolded in the audio CD, Jesuits and Marxism, which you could either you can find the CD on our website at adullamfilms.com, or if you are a member of the resource room, if you're a member of our Noise of Thunder resource room, we now have the new audio CD collection there on the site, and basically most all of our audio CDs, including the Jesuits and Marxism, have been uploaded to the site. So if you're a member, you can go to that section. You can listen to all of our audio CDs. So, but this is the reason why these issues are so very important. If the people of America, if the United States of America, understood that basically what they're doing is they're trying to bring us back into the Dark Age. That's why I call this the weapon of the Counter-Reformation, because it's designed to overturn everything that the great Protestant Reformation established. And it's why we talk about this in our upcoming film on the true Christian history of America. You go back to John Wycliffe in 1384, who translated his Bible from Latin into Middle English, and he said, "This Bible is for a government of the people, by the people, and for the people." This whole concept of government of the people under God, under God's authority. So this is all based on a Christian worldview, a biblical, Bible-based Christian worldview. But of course, it's not taught in our schools. They've removed it. They've changed the history books so that people would not know. And the reason they've done it is exactly because of what Marx said. If you want to undermine a country, you have to change their identity. And this was all very, very deliberately done. Very deliberately done. In fact, we talk about this in part in our film, The Kinsey Syndrome. And the Kinsey Syndrome is making waves now, we are being told, by Dr. Judith Riesman over in Poland. It's stirring up controversy there in Poland as the people of Poland are learning about Kinsey's influence on their education system. And apparently there are people standing up and trying to do something about it. So say a prayer for the God-fearing Christian people of Poland when you can. They are trying to resist globalism there. And we hope and pray they will have God's help in doing so there, even though there's a lot of Catholicism there, but traditional Catholics do not agree with this immoral agenda. Not at all. And they don't agree with communism. Certainly not. All right, let's go to our commercial break. We will talk more when we come back right after this.
Christian Film Ministry, Adalam Films presents A Lamp in the Dark, the untold history of the Bible. Enter into a world of saints and martyrs battling spies, assassins and wolves in sheep's clothing. A Lamp in the Dark unfolds the fascinating history, the Bible, and the lives of the saints who fought to preserve it. This exciting look into the times of valiant men of faith, such as John Wycliffe, William Tyndale, and Martin Luther, is a must-see for any follower of Christ. Filled with rich visual graphics and dramatic reenactments, A Lamp in the Dark is an epic documentary, a powerful witnessing tool for church and Bible study groups around the world. Share with your church, your family, and friends the untold history of the Bible today.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I also knew, living in Memphis on the New Madrin Fault, that there is the possibility of an earthquake. I also know that ice storms can cause the power to go out here, not to mention the threat of terrorism. There were many reasons. So I contacted the company Mountain House and asked if I could become a distributor of their product. I had some of their food when I was in high school on a couple camping trips, and it's really good. But now Worldview Weekend has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. We have one pack that's available. It's a bucket of food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 14 days for one person. Figure out how many are in your family. Figure out how many days you want to have food ready to be put into boiling hot water and have a good meal, and make your order. Now, again, you can order it from someone else, but if you order it from Worldview Weekend, we're not going to charge any shipping and handling. Free shipping and handling. Secondly, it's another way for us to generate revenue to underwrite the expenses of running Worldview Weekend, our radio and television ministry, and our free conference ministry. For more details, just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Thanks for staying with the show today. We are talking about the Jesuit article on the, and I'm calling it a Jesuit article, actually was not written by a Jesuit, but there's no question that the Jesuit magazine published, quote, the Catholic case for communism. The Catholic case for communism. So at one point in this article, let me just read parts of the original article, then I want to go to the follow-up article that was published by a Jesuit. But they say, quote, Christianity and communism have obviously had a complicated relationship. That adjective, complicated, will surely cause some readers to roll their eyes. Communist states and movements have indeed persecuted religious people at different moments in history. At the same time, Christians have been passionately represented in communist and socialist movements around the world. And these Christians, like their atheist comrades, are communists not because they misunderstand the final goals of communism, but because they authentically understand the communist ambition of a classless society. Quote, from each according to ability to each according to need, Marx summarizes in Critique of the Gotha Program. A near echo of Luke's description of the early church in Acts 4:35 and 11:29. Okay, and then it goes on from there, obviously making reference to New Testament ideas, undoubtedly from the book of Acts, where you had all of the people who sold what they had, and they came and they laid their money at the feet of the apostles, and then to every man as he had need, they distributed to every man as they had need. Okay? We find that in the New Testament. We find that in the book of Acts of the Apostles. Now, one of the most important teachings on that that I have ever heard, I heard from a minister years ago who did, I thought, a very good job of pointing out that the reason why this was happening in Judea is because Jesus had foretold the fall of Jerusalem. He had foretold the destruction of Jerusalem itself. This is why your Jewish converts were selling their homes and they were coming and dwelling with the apostles, because Jesus had said, when you see Jerusalem encompassed by armies, then know that its desolation is near, its destruction is near. And then he says, for these are the days of vengeance, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword. For there shall be great wrath upon this people, so that all things which are written may be fulfilled, etc. And then they're supposed to flee. They're supposed to depart and get out of there, because there's nothing they're going to be able to do to stop this destruction, according to Jesus and what he foretells in the scripture. So this is the reason why they're selling their homes. Meanwhile, in other parts of the Roman Empire, when you get into the Greek world, into Galatia and Ephesus and so on, and Antioch, they're not telling the people there to go sell everything and just abandon their homes. They're not doing that. They're not doing that in Greece, for example. This is not what's happening with the church in Rome either. It's only happening with those who are in Judea, and it's because they're responding to the Lord's warning, because they actually believed that the desolation of the city of Jerusalem was imminent. They didn't know when it was going to happen, so they were all preparing for when that would take place. So that's not an example of how the church is to operate in every generation as some kind of a communal society. That's a limited circumstance based on what was happening at that time. And that's why we have a diversity of how the church is operating. They're not always operating in exactly the same way. Obviously, the church was meeting in people's homes, in houses, and so on. So obviously, those people didn't sell their homes. Why not? Well, they had a different understanding. So I think that's an important issue. So they're taking now these bits and pieces of New Testament ideology and using them to manipulate people into thinking that communism and socialism is a biblical idea. Now, I liken it, of course, to the situation between Judas and the apostles in the New Testament. When Mary brings her alabaster box and she anoints the Lord's feet, and you have, if you read in Matthew 26, verse 9, it says, when the disciples saw this, okay, when the disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. That's in Matthew. So notice the disciples say it. Now, when we get to John chapter 12, verse 5, we have Judas. It says, then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? But then it says, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. In other words, Judas was holding the poor bag. So all of the disciples said the same thing. They all said, this should have been sold, the money given to the poor. And of course, Jesus corrects them. Now, when the other disciples said it, they were apparently sincere, even though they were misguided on this issue. Judas, however, was not really sincere. He didn't care about the poor. He wanted that money for himself. Okay? And that is the situation with communism and socialism. They're not quoting the scripture because they really care about the poor and all this other kind of stuff. The reason they are manipulating these things is because they are a band of thieves and robbers, and they want to come in and get control of society for themselves. They want to make themselves the elitist powers so that they can subjugate everybody beneath them. That's what these groups are about. They masquerade themselves as though they really care for the poor, but they have much more in common with Judas than anything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we have to remember. Now, let's go back to this article, the follow-up article, where the Jesuit priest Matt Malone says why we published an essay sympathetic to communism. He says this at one point. He says, quote, "One of the finest hours in the history of the Catholic press occurred in the late spring of 1954 when this magazine, along with several others, published an editorial denouncing Senator Joseph R. McCarthy's witch hunt against communists, which was then reaching its ugly zenith in the infamous Army-McCarthy hearings." Now, while they mention McCarthy here and how this Jesuit magazine opposed McCarthy, what they don't tell you is that McCarthy was the pawn of another Jesuit priest named Edmund Walsh. Edmund Walsh was very, very influential. And they don't talk about that. I have always believed that this whole Jesuit McCarthy manipulation, because you have Jesuits who are pushing McCarthy forward and promoting him, and then Jesuits here at America Magazine who are opposing him. And the whole thing appears to me to be a Hegelian deception, where they're controlling both sides of the issue so they can control the outcome. How this is all going to unfold, especially with the 2020 election, I don't know. But I do know we need to lift our eyes to heaven and look unto the Lord and continue in prayer for what the Lord would have us to do during this time, and keep in prayer for our country. All right, brethren, we are out of time. That is going to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there. But we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.